ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 टेक्स्ट 58।
कर्माणि आरभते येन कुमान इह विहाय तम अमुत्र अन्येन देहेन जुष्टानि सह यत् अश्नुते। कर्माण्यारभते येन पुमानिह विहाय तम अमुत्रान्येन देहेन जुष्टानि सद्यदश्नुते।
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the results of whatever a living entity does in this life are enjoyed in the next life. Purport: A person generally does not know how one body is linked with another body. How is it possible that one suffers or enjoys the results of activities in this body in yet another body in the next life? This is a question the king wants Narada Muni to answer. How may one have a human body in this life and not have a human body in the next? Even great philosophers and scientists cannot account for the transfer of karma from one body to another. As we experience, every individual soul has an individual body, and one person's activities or one body's activities are not enjoyed or suffered by another body or another person. The question is how the activities of one body are suffered or enjoyed in the next.
So Caesar wants this bewilders people more than anything. They think, well, if there's a God, why is there suffering? But they don't see the immediate activity, they don't see the cause of that activity beforehand. So that's the bewilderment at that point. And activities can be changed through bhakti yoga. Just like there was an astrologer who came to read charts in Hare Krishna Man, but almost 30 years ago. And Prabhupada wouldn't let him read his, but he read some of the disciples. So then when he left, he said, Prabhupada, is it true? He said, yes, but when you go before your deities and clap the hands, all the lines begin to change. So then even in this life, you can change the reaction by taking to devotional service. So there's where I live and I grew up. There's a Lehigh University, and there a Dr. Stefan, who studied cases of more than a few hundred young children, 5 and 6 and 7, because they have scars. And when you hypnotize them, bring them back to a previous life, that scar will correlate with something that happened in the previous life. It's like a gun wound or something shows up on the next body. He has a case study like that. A few hundred cases that he studied. Even the body scars of this have proven for a previous life. So even scientifically, the scientists are now finding out that's true. And then through hypnotism, also, they were taking people to progression, and they showed that Ishkan Vidya, two ladies who were in a previous life, one claimed to be in England, she's always been in her in this lifetime too. And she described a whole village area where she grew up. So when they went to the looked on the maps of the villages and towns, the names didn't show up. When I looked 150, 170 years earlier, they found those names. And they found those areas. And they brought this woman to those areas. And she's off on a bee's line, just walking through these bushes until suddenly she came across a tiered waterfall that she described in her hypnotism. And then from there, she turned around, she walked 2 miles to her old house. It was still there, now covered with vines. And she even described a window in the house. And when he got there, the window was gone. When they moved the vines away, they could see it was cemented in. There was actually a window there earlier. And they took another lady from Australia, and she talked of her previous life in France. So they went to France, they traced out the old maps, and they found the old home that she lived in. So even scientifically now, it's been proven that previous lives people lived, and they had some type of a life. So these are being confirmed now scientifically. But people still are upset by this activity of this person's born rich and this person's born, poor and suffering. There must be a mean God to make this person suffer and this person have everything. So a rabbi in America, he wrote a book called Why Good Things Happen to Bad People. Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. He's stressed out, He's got a lot of schedule on his plate, and sometimes he just misses and spaces out and something happens to somebody. But doesn't mean to do it. So it's a speculation that a rabbi gave. But if you look at the laws of karma, you can see that that person, the previous life, has done some horrible thing that created some type of karma that created that situation. It's not like God is mean or decides he's a mean God and wants this person to ache and pain and hurt, and this person to die in war. No. All the suffering, the present day suffering, you see, people cause it upon themselves. You see, people probably said, just by following the regulated principle, there'd be very little disease. But what do the people do? Look at the foods they eat. I know in this country, they actually know how to cook. In America, people don't even know how to cook, so they go out to fast foods, restaurants, and eat garbage all the time. Eat it real quick because they're on their way to work somewhere. Prabhupada says, there's a rich man, and he's there in his office making millions of rupees. But then when you ask him to eat, he says, no, no, I don't have time. All I can do is drink this coffee, eat this toast. What good is it? He's wasting his life away trying to get lots of money. So continually perform such honorable acts in America, in the big stadiums, baseball stadiums and all, because the people are so fat now, obese America, that they had to take out thousands of seats and put bigger seats in for the new stadium because people are so fat. You know, and that, you know, just obesity is a big problem. People sit around weekends watching sports, you know. They had to put a report out, doctors, that at least, you know, during the commercials, move your legs around, or stand up and stretch, or do a little work. Now they have a little porter fridge, so you can put the fridge next to your couch. That way, during commercials, you make sandwiches and pour a drink out. That way, you don't have to walk a whole 20 feet to the kitchen. Huh? So like this, people are getting lazier instead of taking advantage of their body. They're just clogging it up. And they eat all these horrible foods, and then they're drinking liquors and soda, even a simple thing like a soda in America, with so much sugar in it, it ruins your nutritional value. If you eat a meal and then took a tablespoon of processed sugar afterwards, it completely destroy all the nutritional value out of the food you just ate. So like this, they get, when they process things, sugar cane, really good sugar cane juice, and then when they process things more and more, they become worse and worse. They have a taste, but they have no nutritional value. It's like if you take salt from the sea and they analyze it, there's got 83 elements in it. But then what do? They take all those minerals away. You have sodium chloride, two of the worst, huh? And then they put that in your body, salting everything, and the salt level's too high. So like this, people make themselves sick eating and drinking, and then they put themselves under great pressure. Prabhupada said that gambling causes anxiety. And in America, one second. Fine. Had your hand gambling so much that the government decided, well, we'll do it, huh? Every time organized crime they can't control, so they say, we'll do it. Like in the 30s, liquor was illegal in America. And they couldn't control it because the mafia would bring it in. So they said, okay, we'll do it. And they legalize it, and they sell the liquor. So now they do it with gambling. They have statewide gambling. And they tell everyone to buy their little lottery cards and try and win money. So in this way, Prabhupada says, gambling agitates the mind. You know, mind agitate. And then illicit sex is propagated very much. Cleanliness. So much disease is being caused from illicit sex. So the suffering that goes on, the living entity, is due to his own sinful activities. That's not like it's perpetrated. And the wars that people fight for economic gain cause so much stress. And in these countries in Africa, you see so much starvation going on. They're purposely ignoring those countries, because okay, whole of Africa has, the land is untapped for minerals. So the people die off, they can go in there and steal all their minerals too, also. So when they do that, then those demoniac rakshasas would take birth, first go to hell for a very long time, and take birth again. But Srila Prabhupada explains in perfect questions, perfect answers, that if one gives a farthing to the Hare Krishna movement, he will not go to hell. So how many people have left donations towards our movement? So that saves them a big trip. A pure devotee speaks, his words are scripture. So Prabhupada gives that benediction, you give a donation, you don't have to go to hell. So that is immediately, Krishna says, okay, no problem. He immediately accepts this pure devotee's desire. So he's helped facilitate so many people just on this planet by his preaching work and giving that benediction. Also, indirectly, Jnana Sukriti, let's say, when I went to the hospital and my neck operated, that was paid by the government. Taxes. That means people pay those taxes. And so many devotees have gotten help like that. So by indirectly helping the devotees, they've all made some type of advancement. So the progress that goes on, Jnana Sukriti is there, and whole countries are making progress. So we're very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada had helped us in this way. So, so the reactions are there, but reactions for devotees are nullified quite a bit. Prabhupada gives an example. He said, you're in the kitchen cutting and you cut your finger. He goes, you could have been stabbed with a knife. But because you're a devotee, Krishna has nullified and only given you a token punishment. So devotees may suffer a reaction to the previous simple activities. Then we get a token punishment. It's described like the fan. You pull the plug of the fan, but for some time, the fan still goes around. So some token punishment is there. But that's not for the pure devotee. A pure devotee, I'm sure about it, he has some suffering. That's from when he takes on the reactions of his disciples. So the spiritual master has the most important duty, and he's there to assist. And he might have to suffer. And Jesus Christ, you see, devotees suffer in the past to push on spiritual life. So that's going to be there. But the understanding of the spiritual master is good. And I have some notes on the spiritual master. A pure devotee of the Lord does not live on any planet of the material sky. He does not feel any contact with the material elements. His so-called material body does not exist. Being surcharged with the spiritual current of the Lord's identical interests, and thus he is permanently freed from all contamination of the sum total of the Mahatattva. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.13.1.13.51. So you see, any spiritual master may put on a jacket or something, you know, but actually he's teaching by his example. Our Prabhupada told us once, you do not have to imitate my eating or my sleeping. Because Prabhupada sometimes ate very little. Sleeping, he slept very little, tiny bit in the afternoon, a tiny bit at night. So he never told us to imitate. He was translating and preaching so he could do. And we can respect that example, but we don't have to imitate. Lord Brahma wanted to point out to the demigods that by the strength of the Guru, one can lose everything. Just like you see Mr. N, who owned the property at Juhu, he harassed and gave Prabhupada such a hard time trying to cheat him instead of just honestly getting the property. So for that, the last time Prabhupada and him had a discussion, they started yelling at one another. It was in the hospital. And Prabhupada walked out angry. And shortly after that, Mr. N died. Then his wife sold us the property after a big fight. And then when she was signing the lease, she was crying. The Prabhupada said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Someone would offer me 4 more lakhs more than you're offering me." But instead of arousing a pure devotee and giving the property, it caused so much trouble for years. And for that, you have to suffer. You can't go and harass a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, "I land anywhere, I can go anywhere, but then I establish the deities there. So once I establish the deities there, then I wasn't going to go elsewhere." And you can see, not only has Hare Krishna prospered, now they're building another prasas in the back. It's going so nicely. We just be patient and understand. Just like this temple, how small, what was it like 20 years ago? Now look at it, blossoming. So that's like the whole movement all over the world. It just blossoms. In Moscow, our biggest complaints are from the Catholic Church, Moscow, Poland. They try and stop us constantly. But we just got permission to build a magnificent temple downtown in Moscow. So, because of this pious activities, the glorious country is becoming glorious. the Lord never tolerates impertinence of maya, jiva, karma. One should never pass over the honor due to the utterly spiritual master in the interest of one's personal gain and fame. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:4:26. There was one disciple of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was getting sick, who decided to put his picture on the altar. As Prabhupada was dying, and Prabhupada heard that, he said he will fall down across the line. And he did, he fell down. So one can never disrespect the spiritual master in any way or form. One's got to be very careful. Has to go on and do their service. So, you have asked if it is true that the spiritual master remains in the material universe until all the disciples are transferred to the spiritual sky. The answer is yes. This is a rule. Conversation Book 2, page 918. So, all the spiritual masters, they stay until the disciples become pure. Now, that doesn't mean if someone leaves Krishna consciousness, he's broken that relationship with the spiritual master. But if someone is working very hard in their Krishna consciousness, then for them, Prabhupada will be there. He gave a lecture in Mayapur once, and he said, one must be 100% Krishna conscious to return home back to Godhead. Then after the lecture, someone said, 100% sure about it? He said, yes, and he walked in a little bit. He said, then he turned around and said, actually, Krishna will take care of your 90% Krishna conscious. Then he walked a little further down the step. He turned around and said, even 80% Krishna conscious. And he walked a little further. He said, even 70% Krishna conscious. And he threw his charger over his shoulder and walked away. But it's actually the strength of the spiritual master that's keeping us going and keeping us engaged in devotional service. So Prabhupada told us once, he said, you just follow these principles and chant your rounds, and I will be there at your time of death. So he'll, if we follow our, do our best to follow the spiritual master, that endeavor and that preaching spirit helps us. An idea, an acharya is an ideal teacher who knows the purpose of the revealed scriptures, behaves exactly accordingly to their injunction, and teaches the students to adopt these principles. Shichana Chaktamita Alila 737. What Vyasadeva and Krishna taught 5,000 years ago is also being taught now there is no difference between the two instructions. Although hundreds and thousands of acharyas have come and gone, our message is one. Signs of Self-Realization, page 56. You will see people who are atheistic, you can explain them how scientifically Krishna consciousness can be tested. An experiment, you have the purpose, the experiment itself, and the results. So, the purpose of the experiment is to be happy. Not just happy on weekends, after work, right? They have a list of all countries in the world. And Bangladesh, one of the poorest, is number one and number two. And America, who has all opulence, is number 36. So if they have all opulence and all facility, why aren't they happy? Because they're leaving out Krishna, leaving out their spiritual life. So, so because of that, they are. So much discredit is given. According to the World Health Organization, 950 million people suffer from depression. So that's 5 billion, that's almost 1 billion suffer from depression. So, because they leave out their spiritual life, then where's the happiness? So, acharya is there to make us happy. And that scientific process is there. And then the result, the experiment is chanting Hare Krishna, reading the Bhagavatam. And the result, am I getting control of my senses? Am I becoming more satisfied? Am I becoming more blissful? Right? Is that result there? Then the experiment works. When you do well for work, for other people, you feel good, very good. So you chant Hare Krishna out loud, the whole universe is sanctified. So you're doing the highest welfare work. So you're simultaneously helping yourself, your family, and the universe. And then you become blissful. So that same message is a proof. They say, oh, but your religion is so old, or it doesn't work. But it does work, and the proof is now around the world, just like the Lord Chaitanya predicted. Every town or village is already there with the books. The books are there. And then temples develop more and more. Just Yom Hop programs all over India and Russia and all over programs in Brazil, South America. You have so many people coming to the temple, they don't have a facility yet. So, that we have to make facility. Krishna will help us. Lord Chaitanya played the role of acharya, one who teaches by example, accepted as a spiritual master. Even Krishna accepted as a spiritual master. For that is the system. A devotee must not only have only one initiating spiritual master, because in the scripture, accepting of more than one is always forbidden. There is no limit to instructing spiritual master. One may accept as many as you want. So, the spiritual master will give you, when you take initiation from, that is your spiritual master. But you might get instructions from different god brothers. So, that doesn't mean any instruction, but someone who readily helps you with your spiritual life, he can be considered a shiksha guru. But the only one diksha guru is that. Neophytes unable to appreciate the exalted service of an advanced devotee try to bring the Mahabhagavata to their platform. An empowered person who is actually engaged in the confidential service of the Lord should not be treated as an ordinary human being. Next of instruction, page 64. Prabhupada at that point was talking of his god brothers. There's only a few who actually assisted him. But actually, when the acharya arises, one should assist the acharya and not be envious or assist. Bhakti Tirtha Swami tells before he met Srila Prabhupada, he was going to one yogi. He used to give him instructions. So he gave him instructions. Sometimes he would quote Srila Prabhupada. And then once Bhakti Tirtha came back and said, "I took initiation." He said, "From who?" He said, "Some Mayavadi." And the man said, "He's only a Mayavadi. Do you want to know who your guru is?" He said, "Well, yes. Do you really want to know who your guru is?" He said, "Yes." So he said, in a Hare Krishna moment, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And he said, "Those people who dance around bed sheets, have war paint on their face, playing drums, that's an esoteric message." So he was surprised. But when he started going and listening to devotees, see, now he's initiating spiritual master himself. But that man said, "I stopped preaching when Srila Prabhupada came, because he's acharya. But when he should have done, he should have gone and assisted Srila Prabhupada in his preaching. Not just stopped preaching. Should have gone and assisted Srila Prabhupada." And that's the same with all the Gaudiya Mats. Instead of going on with their service, he should have just helped Srila Prabhupada in his preaching mission. In this moment, would have gone, who knows how much quicker it would have gone. So, like that, when an acharya appears, then one can see through his activities, and one should assist him in his preaching. And that way, Krishna consciousness prevail more and more. So, you can see, no matter what, one takes a teacher. Even when you're a child, your parents are your teachers. You always have to go to someone with spiritual life. But for some reason, at least in America, people think spiritual life, you can just concoct anything you want and decide that that's your spiritual life. You've gone to a teacher your whole life for your most important thing, your spiritual life, you also need a teacher, a bona fide teacher. So that's what we have in our Krishna conscious memory. A bona fide process. In the line of the cyclic succession. Four lines. The Rudra Sampada, Sri Sampada, Kumara Sampada, yes, the Brahma Sampada. They are preaching, going through. So is there any questions? Jaya Gaurav Srila Prabhupada.